are.
Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning on 710 WOR.
Morning, everyone, on a Thursday. How's everyone doing this morning? You okay, Mr. Riedel? You've been, every night, you've been leading some appearance somewhere at some organization. What, last night you said all our listeners came up to you? And
yes, I was at the Players Club, which is the club I belong to, down on Gramercy Park. It used to be
a player?
Yes, it used to you know it, Len. It used to be down there. It used to be Edwin Booth's mansion, and now it's a club for people in the theater. And I was on a I did a little interview with my friend Imogen Lloyd Webber and his daughter. Wow. And a lot of people came to see the show and were very complimentary about my appearances on this show, what I do on this show. Not no one really got into you, didn't hear your name mentioned very much. A couple people came up and said, I don't know how you can stand to work with a bozo.
Yeah.
But they love the show. And they love me on the show.
and Joe, too, I bet.
Yeah.
They love you, Natalie.
Aww.
People love Natalie. They love, they but they don't remember your name. They see you
that,
like
that girl, right? That girl.
That girl with the sweet voice.
Yeah, I always get that girl. Well, you know, I'll keep taking that girl as long as I could get it.
It's always the sweet voice. And they do like Joe because they say he's a good, straight, old-fashioned newsman.
No, he's not.
Yes, he is.
Partisan
you're
Joe.
Old fashioned, Joe.
You're partisan.
Means you're
Joe.
Old.
I'm not partisan.
No, not at all. Not the least with the two of you
Bartlett's
gang up
got
on
fans.
Me.
Natalie's got fans. I've got fans. Len has family.
So this is the family and friend show. Thanks, guys. You're a sweetheart, Riedel. Glad I asked. Our big three this morning, Hurricane Michael, the real one, has moved through Georgia toward the Carolinas. Unfortunately, two are dead at least. You know, there are fears the number will go higher, and massive destruction has been left in its wake. Also in the big three, the charge is criminally negligent homicide against the operator of that limo company, where 20 died upstate. Mm. And rounding out the big three, the third worst drop in history for the Dow, 832 points yesterday to be exact. The Post had a clever headline. They called it Stockalypse. Have they done that before? I hadn't seen that before. Stockalypse.
Don't get in a panic, folks. The economy is strong. Things were a little overinflated, and now you have to look at this as a buying opportunity.
It's and
advice
really,
from Charles Schwab here.
Yeah, and really, there's a big four, because if you missed it very early this morning, a rocket ship was launched from Kazakhstan, and on board was an American astronaut and a Russian cosmonaut. There was a problem with the booster, and the two of them, like, evacuated, and they crash-landed back to Earth. I don't know if you saw the video of that. I mean, they landed hard.
They did.
That's make-believe audio of them landing hard.
Well, their capsule had a parachute on it, but it didn't look like the parachute really broke the fall of that capsule. I hope they had they must have had crash bags there in that capsule.
Well, they crash-landed back to... They're fine.
They've been
fine.
Rescued.
Can you imagine? You jump... Who knew they had an ejection seat on these... booster rockets.
Yeah, no, they do. They do.
Yeah. They got out.
I mean, the mystery to me is, why do the Russians launch it over land? You know, you always launch down there in Cape Canaveral over the water, so if something goes wrong, you're going to land in the water, not crash land on the land.
They've always done it.
I don't think the Russians really care that much for the safety of their cosmonauts. You could lose a few here and there when you're trying out the new rockets.
These guys are undergoing a concussion protocol this morning.
Right. Joe.
We have some,
they get back in the game soon.
We have some audio of the control tower from the Russians.
Yeah, listen to this.
Tighten the strap.
Yeah, listen to some of this. This is the Russian mission control.
Feeling rotation. The G-load is going down.
Something was going down. Rotation. G-load is going down.
Could you imagine being on that rocket and this is the person that's controlling you?
I know. It's going down. Tighten straps.
Here's my favorite line from Russian control.
Tighten the strap.
Tighten the strap.
Okay.
Fasten your seatbelts, everyone.
I'm on a rocket. I'm plummeting to Earth at 8,000 miles an hour, and you're telling me to tighten the strap? Well, they did better than the first Russian astronaut who died, Vladimir Komarov, his name was, and he went up in a rocket, Len, in 1967, and they got him up there, but then they realized that they couldn't get him back safely, and they were talking to him through his entire reentry into the Earth. And they said, there's nothing we can do. Everything's malfunctioned. You're just going to you're going to hit the ground
to a crisp.
And then, and you could there's the audio of it and the transcripts you can find on the web. And this guy starts cursing out the people who put him up there, the engineers, the Soviet Union. They screwed this up. The rocket doesn't work. And he's yelling and screaming at him. And boy, yeah, I'm looking at a picture of him. In the end, is just he was molten little ball. Yeah, that's all that was left of him when he hit the ground.
I thought it was too little, too late when they told him.
Tightens his strap.
Tighten the strap. That's not, you know, that's
not much
help.
We can do for
not
you, but help. You might want to tighten the strap.
It's going to help you on reentry. I thought NASA was a little bit more coherent here.
Hearing there that there has been an issue with the booster, and we're standing by for information as we continue to get it from the Russian flight control team, but everything seems to be fine with the crew. We had good comm with them, and they are okay.
They're okay.
She's the one who called it a ballistic landing.
Yeah.
They have landed in a ballistic landing.
Yeah. You want to hear what that sounds like? That's a ballistic landing. No, we'll have the video on our website, 710wr.com/LennonMichael. You really have to see this because when the parachute, there's a parachute on it, and this thing goes boom. I mean, crash. I'm not exaggerating. It really crashes into the ground.
They were on
in
their
Kazakhstan.
Way. They were on their way to the space shuttle, I think.
Yes.
So, but the good news is they survived.
Everybody's fine.
They're rescued, they're fine. So,
all right. So the president goes to Erie, Pennsylvania, and I thought the criticism was unfounded. You know, people thought, well, the hurricane's going on, but what was he supposed to do? I mean, really, I didn't have a problem with him going to Erie, and he said he didn't want to disappoint his supporters. That's fine.
Well, no,
I mean, if he had massive deaths,
yes, of
that's
course
one
he
thing.
Would not have been there. Two people killed so far in the hurricane, and he went to the rally. And I got to tell you, Lynn, you don't want to hear this, but under President Trump, FEMA seems to be doing a good job with these hurricanes.
Well, after the guy who ran the horse shows for George Bush,
Brownie.
Brownie's doing a great job.
Still doing a
What's
great job.
What's his background? Well, he read equestrian shows. So that qualified him for FEMA. Yeah, so I think FEMA has to be doing better. Well, they're doing better than Puerto Rico. Let's put it that way. They didn't do such a great. Don't give me that.
Are we going to fight about Puerto Rico again?
No, but anyway. So Trump talked about a lot of things yesterday. Well, the Me Too movement came up in Erie, Pennsylvania.
I'd use an expression. You know, there's an expression, but under the rules of Me Too, I'm not allowed to use that expression anymore. I can't do it. It's the person that got away. See, in the old days, it was a little different. Pennsylvania says do it anyway. I would do it, except for these people up there.
What's he talking about? The woman who got away?
It's the girl that got away.
The girl that got away.
The girl that got away.
So he can't say that because of the Me Too movement.
Yep.
He said it anyway.
He's having a little fun. He's doing something that is very interesting, and this is the brilliance of Trump.
Oh, stop.
Len, will you hear me out?
I'll try.
Natalie.
Those old ladies who came
this
up
is
to you.
What did he do from you? Just insulted him in the whole beginning of the thing.
Exactly.
You want to listen to him now?
He said nobody listens.
I can't help you, Michael.
Exactly.
Try to help yourself.
Thanks, Natalie. That woman who screens the calls is my friend.
I'm just going to say that we guys have to be sensitive in the hashtag MeToo era. Okay.
Correct.
But what happened with Kavanaugh is happening. Allegations, not evidence. And I think a lot of guys are scared that somebody can come out of the woodwork and hurl an allegation at you and you're going to be ruined. And it takes someone like Trump to go into this area and remind people that you are innocent until you're proven guilty and that the allegation alone should not be enough to ruin your life.
Hey, well, look at this. We may have an innocent situation involving Harvey Weinstein today.
Exactly, because he's going
to be interesting. Yeah,
he's going to court today, but the case against him looks like it's on shaky ground.
And there was a lot of substance to that allegation.
There
was. They can't prove that, let alone somebody saying what happened to Kavanaugh.
Yeah, years ago, when you can't remember where it was, when it was, upstairs, downstairs.
Are you going to do Trump now? Trump should know about all this stuff with all the allegations against him. And then he pulled out one of the, talk about let it go. I mean, let it go, Donald.
There was collusion between Hillary, the Democrats, and Russia. There was collusion. There's no question. There was a lot of collusion with them and Russia. And lots of other people, by the way.
And you'll never guess what the crowd chanted. I mean,
lock her up.
Yeah, they did.
Release the Steele memo. Lock her up. Her fingerprints are all over that Steele memo. You know it.
All right. Well, anyway, that's he was asked, by the way, the stock market took the big hit. Dow went down 832 points. And, of course, whenever it goes up, he takes credit.
Mm-hmm.
So let's see what he had to say when it went down precipitously.
No, I think the Fed is
making a mistake. They're so tight. I think the Fed has gone crazy.
Yeah, he called the Fed loco, which is his new favorite word. That's what he was calling the Democrats. Now he's called the Fed loco. But then I love this line.
Actually, it's a correction that we've been waiting for a long time.
Oh, we know. It's just that we knew. It was coming. We've just been waiting for it for a long time. Well, not my fault.
Well, the stock market is a little overheated, and when it gets overheated, a correction often takes place, so this should not be that surprising.
I've heard more than one analyst say it has to do with his muddling with all this trade stuff. But, it's the Fed's fault, not his fault.
It was the tech stocks that brought
the Dow
down.
The brilliance of Donald Trump.
It wasn't trade stuff. Yeah. Tech stocks are overheated right now.
And he did have some comments about the journalist who was feared dead. The Saudis.
Jamal Khashoggi.
Yeah, so he finally said something about that.
It's a very sad situation. It's a very bad situation, and we want to get to the bottom of it.
People are calling for sanctions on Saudi Arabia, but we sell them a lot of weaponry, and Trump says, no, that would hurt a lot of people. I'm not gonna back off selling them weaponry. So a lot going on with the president, plus he has lunch with Kanye today. Hey, when we get back, Ronald Reagan comes back to life.
What?
You're about to ask?
Oh, absolutely. I'm happy to hear that. He's my favorite president.
And we get the very latest on the hurricane. And you have a chance to win $1,000 at 9:05, and Mark Simone's coming your way at 10 o'clock. All of it right here on 710 WOR. iHeartRadio. That makes it even easier to listen to all your favorite podcasts. No need for another app. All the biggest names in podcasting can be found in the iHeartRadio app. Literally thousands of them, including Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the Morning. All available for free. Now your favorite radio app can be your favorite podcast app. Just download or open the free iHeartRadio app and tap the podcast tab and start exploring. Let's explore traffic. Here's Bernie Viter.
Hey, good Thursday morning to everybody here. Len, you had something you wanted to tell me about. What was that?
No, just the fact that that Ronald Reagan deal.
Oh, well, I thought you wanted to get into something else, but that's okay.
No, that's fine.
Yeah, all right, Ronald Reagan, my favorite president. President when I was growing up, great guy. I was a page at the 1984 Republican National Convention in Dallas, Texas.
Did you meet him?
I did meet him, yes.
You did?
I did, yeah.
Wow.
I
met him briefly. What'd you say?
I said, hello, Mr. President. He said, well.
You're going to be a famous radio announcer someday.
I met George Bush there. I met him.
Really?
I met all the cabinet members.
Wow.
It was fun.
You met all those people?
I did, yeah. I was a page for the New York State delegation, and the president makes the rounds of all the delegations and the cocktail parties. It's not like he comes in, he sits down with you and chats with you for 10 minutes. He does a lap around the room, and you get to shake his hand.
Was he awake?
He was wide awake.
Yeah, good.
He looked great, strong, solid leader, doing the right thing for America, making America great again.
Hmm.
And I'm proud to be an American.
All right.
Remember, that was his theme song.
Yeah.
And then I met all the cabinet members because...
Wow. That must have been a thrill. Who's the cabinet member you like meeting the most?
Gene Kirkpatrick.
Oh.
Ambassador of the UN.
Yeah.
I was standing with a little page section, and I looked up, and there was Jean Kirkpatrick, and I started talking to her. And she said, would you like to meet some of the other cabinet members? And they were all in the same row.
Wow.
Casper Weinberger,
wow.
George Shultz.
Defense?
Yeah, defense. Shultz was...
Treasury?
Treasury. Can't remember them all now.
Right.
Some of them went to jail. and I had the Republican platform, and I said, would you sign this for me, Ms. Kirkpatrick? She said, sure. And then she said, let me pass it down the line. I'll get the others to sign it. So I have the entire Reagan cabinet autographed, Mike.
That must be worth, what, $10.380?
We'll put it on eBay and see.
Anyway. Put it on eBay.
EBGBs. All right. Anyway, well, Ronald Reagan is back at the library, the Ronald Reagan Presidential Library, where I have been. It's a great place. If you're out in California, make sure you see that library. It's a terrific library. They have now a hologram of the president. There are going to be three holograms of the president in different settings at his California ranch in the Oval Office and on his 1984 Whistle Stop campaign tour. Remember, I think he was on the back of a train then. And visitors will hear the president in his own voice as he appears before them in a theater. And what they've managed to do with computer technology is they have married Reagan's head with an actor's body, creating a seamless holographic image of President Ronald Reagan.
You will find the same America of unlimited hope and opportunity that had been left to us by our parents.
Well, there you go.
Well, I'm proud of Rancho Del Cielo, a 350-acre ranch overlooking the Pacific Ocean. It truly is America the Beautiful.
A little creepy?
What?
It is a little creepy.
It's a little creepy.
It reminded me of the Hall of Presidents.
Yes, in Disney World.
Disney, which is going to have to step it up and go into hologram
I know,
land.
Because they're their
like animatronics.
Animatrons thing, and just their mouths move, and they move like robots.
Yes,
and
Lincoln, I remember Lincoln, that freaking me out.
Yeah, yeah. So. No, but hologram is it's good, I think. So,
hey, Ray Stachik down at the Weather Channel with WR meteorologist. Mm-hmm. Hey, Ray, quickly, can you just tell us where the hurricane is and how this is going to affect us in the next few days?
Yeah, we've got hurricanes going through North Carolina now, just coming out of South Carolina. Winds at 50, moving northeast at 21. Heavy rain and flooding in the Carolinas. And some strong winds, maybe the tropical storm force effects here. More by a front coming in from the west, going to increase our rain chances this afternoon. Some moisture by late this afternoon, this evening, might get tugged in from Michael as it passes south of us. Eastern Long Island, eastern New England may stand a chance of a little bit more heavy rainfall. But we'll get some tropical downpours this afternoon, whether directly attached to Michael or not. The bottom line is that front will come in from the west and try to pull some of that moisture north. So, you know, kind of sort of related.
So what about the rain? What about the Giants game tonight? Will that be affected by rain?
A little rain around early. I think as we get into maybe the second half, if there is rainfall, it should be tapering off.
Oh, good.
By then, it looks like the back edge of it starts trying to pull away after 9 or 10 o'clock. So you know, maybe second half. I don't think it rains hard. At least I don't hope it does. But go
Giants.
I hope they both lose.
What? What are you, a Cowboys fan?
I am.
Yeah, oh,
I see.
Yeah,
there
yeah.
you go. Hey, it's going to get cold, though, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. It is below average temperatures, maybe through all of next week. Looks a little chilly. You know, maybe into the Adirondacks, some of that S stuff sometime next week.
Uh-oh, S stuff. Right. Thanks, Ray. Yeah.
Thanks, Ray. Stagic. What?
Did he just say the S word?
He said S stuff.
What?
Yeah. That's what he
next
said.
Week.
It's October.
Wait, next week, he said?
Next, what?
Next week.
Maybe. He said out, what, later the Poconos? What did he say?
Yeah, Adirondacks.
Oh. Adirondacks. Oh. I knew it was some mountain something.
Thanks a lot, Ray.
You're welcome.
You're done, Ray. Goodbye.
All right, bye. Let's get the news now at 8:30 from Joe Bartlett. Good morning, Joe.
All righty. The people living in the Florida Panhandle getting their first real look at the devastation caused by Hurricane Michael. It tore through the area yesterday. Category 4, just 2 miles an hour, short of being a Category 5. The Panhandle has never seen a storm this strong. And you know what? A lot of people chose to ride it out.
I thought the roof was going to come off. So when we came outside and saw that the trees were down and we saw the fence was down, we just knew that we were very lucky. I don't suggest trying to ride out a storm.
Yeah, 300,000 people decided to ignore the evacuation orders and stay, and most of them say they'll never do it again.
Mm-hmm.
The governor says help is on the way. Rockland County man has been arrested, accused of planning to blow himself up on Election Day in Washington, D.C. Paul Rosenfeld reportedly confessed to ordering black powder over the internet, then building a bomb in the basement of his home in Topan. The town supervisor there, Chris Day, says he even admitted the plot.
They found an actual explosive device he had called and made known his intent to do something and blow himself up in Washington, D.C. on Election Day. So this was an actual active thing, and it was a real threat to the safety of our country.
And the motivation was to disrupt the election process. He thought it should be done a different way. Harvey Weinstein goes to court today amid reports the sexual assault case against him could be falling apart. Manhattan DA's office recently found writings from one of his accusers suggesting that their encounter is consensual. And there's also some other issues with the case, apparently. The defense attorneys are going to ask the court today to throw it out. Mm. Deadly limo crash upstate that killed 20 people, now resulting in criminal charges. The operator of the limo company has been charged. Nauman Hussein says, according to police, should not have allowed the driver to be behind the wheel or the limo to be on the road. Obesity is now harming our national security. This is a big problem.
Because they can't get through the metal detectors?
They get wedged.
Well, part of it, yes. The Army says nearly a third of the people who sit down with a recruiter are immediately disqualified because of their weight.
Oh.
A third.
Wow.
Officials say the growing obesity epidemic among young Americans is hurting the military's ability to be effective. They say the number of potential recruits is already extremely limited. Just 2% of the people between the ages of 16 and 24 are interested in joining the military.
Wow. What did they tell you what the cutoff is, or if it's just body fat, or if it's a certain weight? Or
I don't know if there's a hard and fast line, but you know, in terms of being disqualified, you got to be over the line, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, you don't see too many obese Marines out there.
No.
But you could lose weight. It's good weight training, weight losing.
Yeah, that is. It's the diet, the military diet.
If you join the military.
That Marine diet is great at Camp Lejeune. Try it.
Crawl around on Paris Island, you're going to lose some pounds.
I prefer giving up carbs.
Yeah, okay. All right, when we come back, Harvey Weinstein, as Joe said, is headed to court this morning, but the case against him looks like it's falling apart. We'll get into that when we get back. Plus, your next chance to win $1,000. $1,000 in your bank account. You have a chance to win it at 9:05 on 710 WOR. And now let's get the traffic. Pretty vital.
O-R. And we're coming up on 8:39 a.m. on 710 on the a.m. And we're going to get to Harvey Weinstein in just a second. That case may be shattering.
That's amazing.
It is amazing because I thought they had him dead to rights.
Absolutely.
Maybe not, folks. Oh, one other note. We were talking about, obviously, the hurricane going through Florida and through Georgia and up to South Carolina. And Ray Stajic of the Weather Channel says we may see a little bit of rain today, but it's not necessarily associated with Michael. Anyway, listen to this. This is Ginger Z. Michael. She's the weather person on Good Morning America. And listen to what her... recounting this story from the hurricane.
No matter where you are in the storm, I just saw something I have never seen in real life. I've seen it on video, and I have seen it in a 3D graphic that we made to describe storm surge. I saw an entire home taken off of its foundation and rolled down the street. That is the type of storm surge we're talking about right here in Mexico City at this moment.
How about a house just rolling down the street off the foundation?
Right.
And just rolling down the street, that's the chief meteorologist at Good Morning America. That's Ginger Z.
You got winds of 155 miles an hour. They can move a house.
You want to see this video? This is like right out of Wizard of Oz. This is a check out 710WOR.com/LennonMichael. We also have the a llama running wild through the streets of Brooklyn.
And we have a couple of ghost pictures up there. We have the one. I haven't shown you this one.
No,
we're talking about
that.
60%. People in a survey claim they've seen a ghost. Well,
right.
I know of this picture that you can find online. We put it on our website, 710WOR.com/LennonMichael. Picture of a guy sitting in his car.
Yeah.
You look closely in the back. There's an old lady sitting behind him. It's his mother. The problem is she wasn't alive when the picture was taken. They were visiting her grave at the cemetery, and she pops up in the back of the car.
It's not trick photography.
No, I'm going to say it. Anthony looked at it. He's spooked out of his mind. It's a famous ghost picture. It's a famous ghost picture. I don't think it's ever been debunked.
Right.
I saw it years ago as a kid, and it's stuck in my mind all these years, and I just found it. We put it up on the website. I'll show it to you.
No,
you're
going to
see that. You're going to see the lady in it.
Hey, Rich in White Plains, you wanted to weigh in. Good morning, Rich. What's up, kid?
Morning, Len, Mike. How we doing?
Good morning,
what's
Rich.
I guess everybody knows by now the stock market took a big plunge yesterday, and, you know, it's anybody's guess why, you know, because it's, you know, the stock market, you never know why it does what it does. But when asked last night by Shannon Bream of Fox News to President Trump, could it be your trade war, he blames the Federal Reserve Bank.
Indeed,
and he's been blaming them all along. And here's my point. A good journalist would follow up with, but Mr. President, didn't you appoint the Fed chair?
Yes, he does, but the Fed often acts, well, supposed to act independently, Rich. It's not supposed to be an arm of the White House.
Well, you know, Mike, that's true of everything. You know, it's true of all the Supreme Court justices, but we all know the way they act, okay? So, I mean, when he appointed the chairman of the Federal Reserve, theoretically, though he's supposed to be impartial, I'm sure, you know, he could have put somebody in there that he felt would have kept interest rates low.
Well, a lot of presidents have complained about the people they put in the Fed over the years, Rich, because the Fed has to just evaluate the economy and make decisions on interest rates, not from a political point of view, but purely an economic point of view.
And here's what Trump said about the Fed.
No, I think the Fed is making a mistake. They're so tight. I think the Fed has gone crazy.
And then he said loco. He used the phrase loco, which he's been using for the Democrats. All right, let's move on to Harvey Weinstein, because he's back in court today.
Yep.
And there are a couple of issues, and this first one, this could blow up the whole case, Michael.
It could indeed. Yes, so the woman's name is Lucia Evans. She's one of the women who claims that Harvey Weinstein forced himself on her. But the Manhattan District Attorney's Office recently discovered a previous written account from her that suggests the encounter with him was consensual, contradicting her statements.
One of her prior employers turned over personal writings that she left on the company computer. And that appears to contradict her grand jury testimony. That's a big problem. Now,
that's a huge problem.
Now, she's one of three who are involved in this case.
Right.
But Joe Barlow was telling me before, you know, if one part of the case falls apart, maybe it all falls apart. Maybe it's all interconnected.
Well, they've been saying, Harvey's lawyer has been saying for a long time that all of these encounters were consensual. And if you have emails or letters indicating that you were a willing participant in it, it's going to be tough to get this guy. He's been convicted in the media,
oh, yeah.
Of course.
Well, he's been convicted by more than just the media. He was forced off his company board of directors, yeah. And they sold the company. It wasn't just the media that was convicting him. His whole company, the movie industry, they dropped him out of the Motion Picture Academy.
Right,
you know,
sure.
He can't make a movie, sure. So everyone just assumes this guy's a pig.
But if he gets off, he doesn't go to jail.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Now, supposedly there are investigations. Are they still ongoing in L.A. and London?
There are investigations in London and Los Angeles, so he could be brought up on charges elsewhere as well. But I'm telling you, it's one thing to make the allegation in print. When you go to court, a lot can change.
Now, there's another issue that they're going to be dealing with in court. Apparently, the lead police detective during the investigation may have improperly coached a witness before she testified before a grand jury. Mm. So you have that issue as well. So he's showing up in court today. In fact, Alice Stockton Rossini will be on hand. He's supposed to appear around 9:30.
Yeah, she's going to be there at the courthouse.
And she will be there. But these are a couple of major issues. And wow, it's just amazing to me.
I can't remember the name of Harvey's lawyer, but that guy is a crackerjack.
Attorney. Yeah, no,
he's really, really good.
Well, that's Braffman.
Braffman, that's what, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
He's very good, so. But it would be amazing if Harvey skates.
Well, there's three involved in this particular case. She's one of them, this Lucia, how do you pronounce it? Lucia?
Lucia Evans.
But I wonder if there are, others just looking at this case and saying, no, wait a second. You're convicted, you know, like Matt Lauer wasn't. Accused of a crime. Charlie nope. Rose wasn't accused of a crime.
Nope.
Now, your buddy Kevin Spacey was.
Yes, but they're investigating Kevin Spacey. I guess they did bring charges against him in Los Angeles, yeah. Or were investigating
charges against him that were dropped.
Yeah, that's right. That may have been in Los Angeles. I think it was statute of limitations. And there were investigations in London against Kevin Spacey, too.
So maybe this whole Kavanaugh thing, in a way, has tipped things. What do you think?
I think we were, and listen, I, you know, support hashtag Me Too, and I think women who have had these horrible things with men should be heard out, but I do think there was getting a kind of a fevered pitch to this, bit of a witch hunt going on. I think it was getting a little out of control. I felt a bit like the Crucible, you know, the hunting for Salem witches. I accuse you, and therefore you're basically convicted and guilty, and you got the capital punishment of you lose your job just based on the allegation without much evidence. I think it was getting a little out of control.
Well, many have lost their job instantaneously,
yeah.
Obviously.
Yep.
And now, I mean, this would be some amazing, because I don't think there's anyone who doesn't think that he's a pig.
No.
He's guilty of something.
No. Well, we had that creepy video of him. Remember the woman came in to sell him something and she had her computer on
She
videotaped the encounter.
Oh, that's right.
And he was basically, you know, trying to, let's hook up right now. I mean, he was
putting his hand up
down,
her leg.
Down on her leg and all that sort of thing. So, yeah, the guy is a creep. There's no question about it. But he's a creep who deserves to go to jail. We shall see.
Well, today he's entering a courtroom, and Alice Stockton Rossini will be reporting. We'll get back to her around 9:40 this morning, so just about an hour from now. So this will be fascinating to see how it plays out.
It will indeed.
When we return, hey, Mommy, look what I found at daycare. Crack cocaine. And let's play everybody's favorite board game, not Monopoly. It's the deportation board game. Really? Plus, you can win $1,000 at 9:05. But first, Bernie Vider has traffic.
And a very good Thursday morning to everybody. You can call us anytime you want here at 1-800-321-0710, 1-800-321-0710, to weigh in on any of the things we are talking about. And we did get a call from Jerry in Huguenot, New York. Jerry, good morning to you. What's on your mind?
What's up, Jerry?
Hey guys, good morning. Michael, I just wanted to call you and tell you how proud of you I am.
Oh, thank you, Jerry. What did I do?
You just had the caller that called in ready to, locked and loaded, to rip you, rip the stock market, rip the Fed. You came in, you hit him with the facts that they're supposed to be independent, and he leaves talking about the Supreme Court. complete opposite sides of the spectrum. I just wanted to say good job, and I appreciate it.
Thank you, Jerry. I'm up on news of the Federal Reserve. I know,
Jerry,
I know how it works.
How did I do, Jerry?
Oh, no, no.
Glenn, you're great. Go back to sports.
Yes. Another good one, one. Jerry. Oh, good one, boy. Jerry.
Thanks, Jerry. Call anytime, pal.
That's right. Anytime. Hey, this is a...
Go back to the beer.
This is... Oh, be nice to Jerry. Jerry's a great guy. So a four-year-old girl...
Yes.
She comes home. She's got some capsules. Turns out they're filled with crack cocaine.
Yikes.
She was given the capsules by a classmate at her at the Inventor's Child Care on Andrews Avenue in the Fordham Manor section of the Bronx. And the kid who gave her the capsules said they're teeth.
Teeth.
Their teeth. And then the mommy looked at them when she got back and said, these aren't teeth. They got some stuff in it. And then the girl admitted that she had tried the substance, the crack cocaine. So they rushed her to the hospital. The girl is okay. But I think someone's got to find out why the kids at the Inventor's Child Care Center have their hands on some crack cocaine vials.
Well, after she tasted what she thought was a piece of a tooth, she was acting very hyper. Mm. And they kept saying, well, oh, what's going on? Anyway, here's the mom talk to Channel 4. This is the mom of a little girl who had the crack cocaine.
Well, we kept saying, well, my gosh, why are you so hyper today, Serenity? Normally you think maybe she had a lot of sugar or something like that.
Yeah, why was she so hyper? That's Sabrina Straker, the mom of the little girl.
But, Mommy, it tasted so nasty. Now my blood is boiling. Serenity, what do you mean it tasted so nasty? Yeah, my friend, he told me to taste his tooth.
Taste well, where'd the guy get the crack cocaine from, I wonder?
So it says in the story here that her daughter has recovered from the incident but hasn't returned to the daycare yet. Really? Is she going to send her back? I guess people are desperate for daycare.
I've never used cocaine, but I have tasted it. And it does taste weird.
What do you mean you tasted it?
I found a $20 bill all wadded up really tightly in the hallway of my apartment building.
Right.
And I picked up the 20 bucks and
you
I
tasted the 20.
Well, I unwrapped the 20 bill and there was white powder in there.
So you just tasted it.
And I thought, well, I was in mind
of anthrax.
I was in mind of the movie Goodfellas when they bring them all in and they taste the white powder. Yeah. And I said, oh, we got you. So I thought, I wonder if this is cocaine. And I put it to my lips.
How would you know?
Well, I'll tell you what happened. My entire mouth went completely numb and that's the sign.
It was
cocaine.
Novocaine.
No, it was
and
cocaine.
What did you do with the $20?
I kept it.
Wait a second.
Did you spend it?
I brushed it off.
You brushed it off.
I brushed it off. Got rid of that. I mean, the cocaine was probably worth more than the $20. I should have kept the cocaine and got rid of the $20. But I was just curious because I've never done cocaine in my life. But as soon as I put it right to my mouth, my lips and tongue
goes numb.
Goes completely numb. Yeah.
Oh, shows you what I know.
Well, you sniff it.
No, I know, but. Oh, yeah. He said, I know. Oh.
Now we know what Len is hyper here.
I know. That explains everything.
Back
you know
in his high-flying celebrity sportscaster days, hanging out there at Elaine's late at night in the men's room, keeping the party going all night long there, Len.
It's a hot spot at Elaine's with Woody Allen. Yeah, I think Jerry from Huguenot's right. I'm going back to sports. So this
seems more exciting.
It does. I don't know.
Absolutely.
Did you hear about this board? These kids in Oceanside, California, they go, they're at a middle school called the Cesar Chavez Middle School.
Yeah.
And for their 7th and 8th graders, for their school project, they created a deportation board game. Where if you're the first player to cross the border into the United States and reach an American flag, you win. But players could also deport each other with a roll of the dice.
Well, this sounds like fun.
Some parents did not think it was a lot of fun.
I think it sounds like fun.
Yeah,
what did the parents complain about?
According to the school superintendent, the project was intended to develop collaboration, decision-making, and learning to divide the workload. Yeah, you sneak into the U.S., you get deported. You know, well, that breaks it up pretty
my
good.
My kids have had projects where they had to create board games with a group, and it's fun, but the teacher has to prove what you're doing. How did this get past the teacher?
I think my kids came up with a board. This is a true story for their project. It was a board game called, like, Break Out of School. You know, how to get out of school. But anyway, so they had this, they had this school board meeting, Michael.
75% of that school's students are Mexican American.
What is she carrying
on about? Calm down, lady. Yeah. Big deal.
Just
it's just a board
75%
game.
Of the student population is Mexican American, and this would offend them.
Why is she blubbering about it?
She's really upset.
Why is she blubbering, Natalie? You know.
If you, you know, if you land
she's
on upset Boardwalker
with the school.
Pay place.
I just want to say it's only a game.
If you land, but if you land on Boardwalker or Park Place, they send you back to Cartagena.
Yeah.
You do not pass go.
Go.
You don't collect $200.
Go over that wall. Go directly over that wall. Here's do not pass go.
Here's a former student.
It's not a game. It's like a life or death situation.
Oh,
it's
come
like,
on.
You can't. You're risking your life to come over here to have a better life for your family.
Yeah, Michael, oh, you're on. Just you're so insensitive.
Come on, stop crying, people. It's just a board game. They're just having a little bit of fun. Jesus, people take all these things too seriously.
Don't worry, somebody will buy this board game and they'll make some money off
Mattel.
It.
Right. When we get back, we've got all the bites from the morning shows, including the president, who was on. Guess where he was? Fox and Friends. He was on Fox and Friends on television this morning, and your chance to win is coming up. But first, let's get the news at 9 o'clock.